To you, and I am glad you're here this morning. Well, it is good to be here, I know that. Listening to that song, it is true, Jesus changed everything, and now we have choices to make in life, and I pray that you're making the right choice for the Lord, and you're coming under His wing and following His gift of salvation. But we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be turning to the book of Psalms this morning. Just got some kind of good announcements coming toward the end, but we'll stay focused right now on what we're going to do. And so we're going to be in Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is something you'll see at funerals, but I want to tell you it's more than just what happens at the end of life. It's really more about living. It's really more about living. It looks good on the pieces. I've done a lot of funerals. I see a lot of them in the little piece there that they give everyone, and obituary piece and all that, and it looks good. But it's really for the living. I mean, it's really for the living. Those who passed on are experiencing some parts of the Scripture. But I always believe it's not just learning Scripture, it's experiencing Scripture. We need to learn how to experience the power of God, and it comes through the power of His Word. If you just hear the Word, and it just goes in one ear and out the other, but when you put it into your hand, your mind, and into your hearts, and your soul, and to your hands, and to your feet, you are beginning to learn what Scripture is, and you're beginning to experience it. And there's so many people that struggle in between and never can get really where God wants them to be because they cannot take it from their head knowledge to their life, living their life outwardly. And so they learn the Scriptures, but they're not experiencing the power of the Scriptures. So I want to, as you guys are turning there, you may be there already, but I want to ask you kind of a question. We're going to come to a few questions here. I want you to think in your head. How many of y'all lay down at night and come to the point where you're getting ready to put your head on the pillow and you're ready to go to sleep, but you can't go to sleep? You think about the day and you think about how bad you were. You think about some things that you did that you shouldn't have done. You begin to think that you're not worth anything, and you start feeling like that you're not good enough, and God is too far away now, or we've walked away from Him, and we start feeling these negative thoughts. I'm going to tell you, am I the only one here? I'm telling you, because Satan will come and he will attack, and he loves to do it at night, when in the still of the night, when you're at the moment of all that attention's in your mind, it will come to the point where he will begin to speak, and words will come in your mind where you feel like you're not worth anything. You'll feel like that you are nothing, that what you've done is unforgivable. And like I said last week, Satan always wants to remind you of your past and keep your past up in front of you, but Christ is always telling you what's in front of you, the presence and the future, all right? But I want to break some of these down for you this morning, of what these scriptures mean and how we can learn through these, because I want to tell you that if you're a Christian today, you got more into you, that you got more inside of you than what you think. If you're not, you don't. You're not going to catch this. But if you're a Christian, you're going to catch what this is. These are some powerful scriptures for the believer. For the believer, this is the scriptures that Satan does not want you to know as a believer. It talks a lot of things about you and your relationship with Christ, you and your relationship with God. And this is what it is. This is what our whole life is, because before Christ, you did not have a relationship with God. You may have known of God, you may have believed Him, but you did not have a relationship with God. And you cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. For God said, we cannot come to Him except through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the key. He is the door to getting into a relationship with God. So it says in chapter 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. All right? He is my shepherd. Before I knew Christ, I did not have a shepherd. It was about me. I took care of myself. You took care of yourself. The shepherd really is yourself before you're saved. Or it is of the things of the world. The world is shepherding you, pulling you, and moving you in different directions. But here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. God knows all that I need. He knows all the things that I need in life to make it. He supplies all my needs. Philippians tells us that the Lord will supply you of all your needs. All your needs are those things that you need to make it in this world. He knows those things that you need. He knows that some of you need some things different than someone else. And someone else needs something different than those over here. God knows those things. But He acknowledges in the beginning that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm coming under him. When he gave his life for me, I'm giving my life now to him, that I come under his leadership and his throneship and his kingship and under his kingdom. So now I put myself under him, and he is my shepherd. As he is your shepherd, he will lead you as the flock, as the sheep. He will keep you in the right places, but he will make sure that he takes care of you. He will take care of his sheep. If you are part of his sheep, you are one of his lambs, he will do that very thing. In fact, it says if one strays away, he will go out and find the one. He'll leave the 99 and he'll go find the one. Because sometimes, wasn't many of you the prodigal child? That were you kind of strayed away from the flock? You strayed away and Jesus found you out away from the flock and pulled you back into the flock. And when you're back into the flock, I'm telling you, there's a difference. When you're in the flock, you act like the flock. When you're out of the flock, you act like, not like the flock, but you act like the world. So God says, that's not you. That's not you. You're under my, I am your shepherd. So he's going to pull you back into that spot and then back into the fold, into the sheep, into those areas. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He takes care of all my needs. Amen. He takes care of all your needs. There's not a need that you have that he cannot take care of. And most of the time when we say, if he hasn't taken care of it, listen, we're looking at it with the wrong eyes. God knows what you need. He takes care of those needs. But he also says here in verse 2, David writes these, and David knows these. He is not just writing these as a psalm, but he writes them from experience. He writes them from experience. And he said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. We can get so caught up into things of the world today that we just get so busy that we have no peace. When we fall into sin, there is no peace. When you sin, your peace is gone. You can't sin and have peace. Because the sin takes away the peace, and the sin will sit there and bubble until you figure out that you need to come to Christ, you need to come to God, you need to seek that forgiveness. And when you feel that he has forgiven you, you do that, you have that relationship with him, you know that if you confess with your mouth and you ask for the forgiveness, he forgives us of those sins. That's those things at night that keeps us awake sometimes. And when we forgive him, when we ask us to forgive us of our sins, he makes us now not to be so busy and uptight and all restless, but he lays us down. He lays us down and he gives us peace. He gives us peace as he leads me beside still waters. And he does that. He makes me lie down. So I can lie down now with peace. I can lie down in peace every day, knowing that he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd, and he allows me, and he makes me lie down. You're going to lie down, and you're going to have peace. When you're living in sin, there is no peace. You're restless. But there's a part of this where he continues to see David's relationship and God's relationship and how they come together, putting God where he is, putting us where we are. And it says, he leads me beside quiet waters. You can't lead yourself there. Only God can lead us there. When we lead ourselves, we fall into sin very quickly. We find ourselves in trouble. But when we have sin in our lives, what we need to do is we need to come to Christ and seek that forgiveness. Let me tell you right now, you can't serve both God and Satan. You can't do it. You just can't do it. You'll love one and despise the other. You can't do it. But that's what we allow. We want certain parts of the gift and the gifts of God. But we also want some of the things that we think are fun in the world. Let me tell you, the gifts of God are free. But when you get the gifts of the world, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. And it's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you much more than you can afford. There's not a lot of people out there that are able to lay down in green pastures. You got to look at the metaphor here. He's using sheep here. He's using the shepherd. He's using these green pastures. The peace only comes from God, being close to God, in a relationship with God. You can't get the peace being away from God. You have to be close to God. But here's what I want to tell you. When you draw close to God, the Bible says he'll draw close to you. But when you draw close to God, your sins are right before you, and God's going to deal with those sins. He's going to convict and tell you in your heart that you know what you need to do. You need to confess those sins. And the Bible says if you confess, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Which means he'll cleanse us from all of our ungodly living. And then we'll be close to God, walking in a relationship with him. It doesn't mean that you're perfect here because you're going to sin again. But you're going to know the routine. And you're going to keep coming to God. And the more you come to God, you're going to know that those sins are there. I believe this. As a Christian, as you grow as a Christian, you should be sinning less. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin, but you're going to sin less. You're not going to be doing those same mistakes that you did when you were, or making the same sins when you were, before you had a relationship with Christ. And even as a believer in Christ, you're not going to make those same sins on a continuous basis. You may have struggles, but God can give you victory over that. We'll just talk about that in a minute. But he makes me lie down in green pastures. Only God can do that. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me beside the things that are good for me in my life. Not through the other things that the world wants me to get caught up into, or what the world wants you to get caught up into. You see, what happens here is God is changing your places. He's changing your places in your life. He's getting you to now go to places of green pasture, not deserts and stony areas. He's leading you beside the quiet waters, not the hustle and bustle of sin. You notice that when we sin and we don't take care of it, sin creates more sin and builds more sin. And it's loud. And as a believer, you know that when you sin, that sin is loud before you. But only through Christ can we get the peace that cools and calms those things, and God gives us quiet waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. Because when I'm broken and when I have those things, I have sin in my life, there's only one that can restore me to where I need to be. And that is God himself. He's the only one that can restore. I don't care what program, what classes you take. If you got a spiritual problem, only spiritually can you be taken care of. There are physical things that you may need, and you go to the store, you go to places, and they help you physically. But if you've got a spiritual problem, you can only be helped by spiritually, and the only one that will help you spiritually is God himself. There are lies from the world that will tell you to follow these certain ways because they're spiritually true. But God will say this, there's only one way, and that is through my son Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God paid the price for you and I that we might have a relationship with him to redeem us from the darkness, to redeem us from the pits of hell. And he said this, he restores my soul and he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because you're his family now. You come to Christ, you're part of his family now. So it's not just about for you, it's for his name's sake. You want to be a Christian? You need to act like a Christian. Amen? It's got Christ in it, Christian. It means to be Christ-like. If you're a Christian, you need to act like a Christian. You need to be a Christian. And he says, he restores my soul. He restores my brokenness in me. What the sin has caused me. The brokenness in my soul is not, when it's not restored, it needs to be restored when it's broken. And the only one that can restore that brokenness is you when you come to Christ and you say, I can't restore this. And he says, I can, but let's talk about this. And we need to confess that what we did was actually wrong before God. And when we confess and we say, Lord, I sinned against you. And to you alone have I sinned against. And I have done this, this, and this. Not just, Lord, forgive me of my sins today. Bless my day. No, Lord, here is what it is. If your soul is broken and your soul is split, there's only one that can restore your soul. Now, if you're a lost person, your soul is lost. And the only one that can redeem your soul is Jesus Christ. Come on, amen. And if you know, I was there at one time in my life. Many of you, most of you were there one time in your life before you had Christ. Your soul was lost. But this is not about a lost soul. This is about a restored soul. This is about a Christian who is stepping from the wrong ways, but God restores, he says he restores my soul. But he guides me in the paths of righteousness. He just doesn't restore his soul. He says, now, go on this way. Go this direction. Go this direction, this straight and narrow. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness. Why does he do it? For his name's sake. Because when we come to Christ, we are His child and He is our Father. And we need to listen to our earthly fathers, and spiritually we need to listen to our spiritual Father. Are we here today? We here today? Because I'm telling you, some of you are struggling with things you need to be done with. You need to be done with it. You need to be done with it and start moving on to the paths of righteousness that God has set forth before you. There's blessings around the corner, but until you let go of some of this stuff, you don't have enough arm reach to reach around God's blessing because you got too much arm reach in your junk. We need to let it go. We need to drop that stuff. If you believe that God is all powerful and He set you free, then be free. Live free. Walk in His freedom. You're the most powerful individuals in the world, yet we act like we're the weakest. Because God's Spirit, there's nothing stronger than the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is inside of you, you are invincible in the presence of God. You are invincible as you walk on this world. The world can beat you down, can hunt you down, but it cannot stand against the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will preach. The Holy Spirit will heal. The Holy Spirit will say things that you didn't even understand. The Holy Spirit is the wisdom and the Spirit of God Himself. And He has implanted that inside of you. So when you sin, it hurts you because you've hurt the Spirit. And when you sin, you ought to come to Him and you got to repent. And you got to turn from the sins and the wickedness and the unrighteousness. And that's what He does. And He says, listen, when you're that way and He forgives you, then He restores you again. And then He sets you on the path. Get out there and start living life. Be the light of the world like you're supposed to. Be the light of the world in this darkness. Be different than the world. Live as one of the most powerful people in the world. Listen, your power doesn't come from your money. Because if it did, we'd all in this room be broke. We'd all be in debt. But our power doesn't come from the money that we have. It doesn't come from your bank accounts or what car you drive or where you live. It doesn't come from this church building. It comes from what's inside of you. Not from your own self, but what He's deposited, as the book of Ephesians says, He deposits a guarantee, a Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Man, I want to tell you that you are the most powerful person walking in this community today. You walk by broken people that are on their road, not to the road of righteousness, but unrighteousness to the pits of hell. And the Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many find it. But narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting. Few find it. The world looks at what they see on the outside. What they see in bank accounts, what they see on what you have, where you work, the power positions you have, and employment. They look at all the outside, but God sees the heart of a man. He sees the heart of the woman. He sees His Spirit. He should be reflecting from you because He's put inside you the Holy Spirit. He should see Himself in you. And when He calls your name, He shouldn't be ashamed. He shouldn't be distracted by other things that we're doing. He should see you just as He sees Himself. He should see the Holy Spirit working inside of you as a powerful light in this darkness. And when you stand up, He says, that's a faithful one. That's a faithful servant. That's a faithful servant. But we're not always faithful, are we? And that's why we need this scripture here where He says, He restores my soul and He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm going to tell you, this person here, it has a relationship with the Son of God. David has a relationship with God Himself. You can't write this without having a relationship with God, and God moved through him as he's writing this. And he's doing it from experience, because we know the stories of David, how he failed many times and have sinned. But he knows that he has a broken and a contrite heart. And he knows that that's what happens. That's what God's looking for. The man who feels broken when he sins. The woman who's broken when she sins and says, I've got to get it together. And there's only one way I can get rid of this darkness, this heavy broken heart. The only one that can heal me is the name of Jesus Christ. And he's still healing people today, except people don't want to be healed. They'd rather suffer out there in the darkness of sin and the distance away from God. Then he moves on. He says this. And then we come to these moments. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Some of you have been close to death in your life. But I want to tell you that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not alone. Listen, even when someone is passing on, many people will say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. You're praying that I'm going to stay, but I'm ready to go. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, when you have the Spirit of God in you, there is no fear. That's, if you have fear, that is the spirit of the darkness, because the Bible says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We are not filled with the spirit of fear. No matter what goes on, we should be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the powerful ones, not the world. We are the powerful ones, the Holy Spirit. They, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even if they strike me down, guess what? It ain't over for me. We're just getting started. Listen, you think all the patriarchs, all of our loved ones that went on to see the Lord right now, that their body's in the grave, but their spirit is with the Lord. They're waiting for that second coming where everything will be united again the way that God wants it and says it's going to be. Listen, they lived this life. They battled their battles. They fought their fights. They've lost a few battles, but they've won that war. Not because of who they are, but because of who Christ is. And they jumped on His bandwagon. Listen, you're not telling God to jump on your bandwagon. You can get on His bandwagon. It's the only one that leads to eternal life. Our sins cause us to go to hell. Our sin leads us. What draws a man to hell? What draws a woman to hell? It's what we do. It's our life that leads us there. But when we jump on God's bandwagon, He says, whoa, here it is. Even though, for you believers, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't fear no evil. You're not. That's not part of you anymore. That's not part of you, because God has trumped death. Jesus has trumped death. He has trumped death. That's why we have Christmas. That's why we have Christmas. It's the greatest gift ever given. And I asked my wife before, what did I have gotten you in the last 30 years? Can't remember anything we've gotten each other, but I want to tell you. What God has given to you, the gift of eternal life through Jesus, we don't forget. And that gift keeps on giving. But it's standing out there. And God's got it out there all the time. And He speaks and He offers it to people. And some people don't take it, because a gift is, if I offer you something, it's not yours until you take it. And some people don't want to take the gift that God has through salvation. And God does it because He loves us. He doesn't want us to go to those. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him, but to be united with Him. But we got to deal with something. There's a wedge block, and it is our personal sin. It's our rebellious lifestyle that we've had. And He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because what? He says, for You are with me. We don't go alone. Why do we not go alone? Because His Spirit is with us. That's how that, where you go, the Holy Spirit goes. So even through death, He goes with us. Now, if you want to go clubbing, He's with you. But you ain't acting right. And He's going to put conviction on you. And He's going to pull you back. And if you keep bucking Him, He's going to say, okay. And the Bible says He disciplines those who He loves. And He loves His children. And He's going to put a whooping up on you, something like you've not felt in a long time. And you don't fix those whoopings in a day. You don't get yourself talked out of them whoopings. You get out by repenting. Confessing the sin and repenting, which means you apologize, you ask for forgiveness, and you walk away from that clubbing. You walk away from that lifestyle. And then the discipline lifts. But He says, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Remember, we're talking about the shepherd. The rod and the staff protects the sheep. But it also got a hook on it that says, get over here. You're getting out of line. Get over here, sheep. You're just walking too far away. Pull over here. It looks like God's doing that a lot in our lives, doesn't He? But He says, that comforts me. That comforts me. Because sometimes I get too close, and you need God to pull us back. Amen? We get tempted, and we're like, oh, I don't know what to do. And God pulls us back. He reminds us of some scripture. He reminds us of how He helped you last time. He reminds you of all that. Yeah, that's right. The Lord, the Holy Spirit just reminded me, the last time I did this, it cost me a lot. The last time I did this, I paid a lot for that. So He throws His rod and His staff, and it comforts me. God loves to protect. Ain't nobody going to touch you unless God allows it. That's how powerful you are. And you read the book of Job, Satan wanted to come in there and he couldn't even get around because God put a hedge around this man. There's a hedge around you. Holy Spirit's in you. If you knew what was inside of you and you tap into that Holy Spirit power, I'm going to tell you, demons flee, issues go away, new issues rise, but you know how to handle them. You do it with peace, even though it's tough at times, you have lost, but you're able to do it. And he says, so your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God uses it at the pole. But then he moves into verse 5 and he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let me just kind of show you what I'm thinking. You know that junk that you struggle with? It's as though you're sitting right across from it and it has no effect on you anymore. You got it. That stuff that used to take me down Sin Street. Destruction Drive. That stuff sitting across from me is like, you ain't got no power over me. You nothing. You're nothing. That junk that took you down those roads and beat your body down and took parts of you, got all kinds of loss in your life, and he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and that stuff is my enemy. It's the junk in my life, and I can sit across from it now and I can say, listen, God puts it in front of me and that don't touch me no more, because who he is. Because who he is inside of me, who he is inside of you, that stuff is over. I'm sitting at the table. I'm sitting at the table in the presence of my enemies. And listen, I'm the one that's eating the food. I'm the one in the presence of God now. I'm the one at the end. I'm going to stand before God. And that stuff in the enemy, it's out of here. It's me, God, Father, Son, all the other believers. We're going to sit at the table. Only those who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. They're the only ones going to be at the table. And that's going to be an awesome piece, and I look forward to that. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil. Whoop! I'm going to tell you what that is. God tells you he's going to come and he's going to, the Lord anoints my head with oil. He anoints your head. Listen, that's how close he is with you. I'm going to anoint you. You're special to me. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to touch you with some blessing. I'm going to do this. And he says, my cup overflows, which means I can't take it, God. It's so awesome. You're so awesome. Your blessings are so much. I can't even take it. I'm not drinking from the cup. You know those little fancy cups? They put a little saucer on it. I'm not drinking from the cup. I'm drinking from the overflow. I'm drinking from the saucer. That's how much blessing God has for you if you get it right with him. God has so much for you, and he's saying the blessings come. When you allow God to be God in your life, you be who you're supposed to be in God, and you start living your life, and you can experience these scriptures here, and when you get to heaven. And you look forward to heaven. You look forward to heaven. And God says, I'm going to bless. He says, for you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God has great hospitality. You anoint my head with oil. Woo! I'm going to bless you. I'm setting you apart. And here it is. My cup overflows. He said, my cup overflows. I got more here than I can drink. I got so much blessing that God loves me so much. He's got it all in store for me. And I'm a part of it. I'm a part of it because his grace, because his love, and his ever-ending, everlasting mercy. I didn't deserve it. I didn't purchase it. I can't do it on my own, but he lays it out before those who will follow him. And when you follow him, you can't help but even eat the crumbs under the table and get a blessing even that away. God is amazing. He loves you. We need to get that junk out of our life, and we need to let him be him, and we need to be us under him. He says, now, surely goodness and love will follow me. When I'm with the Lord, love follows me, because the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit and God is love. Everywhere I go, there's a love in me that is of him. I'm loved more than you can ever love me. He loves you more than I could ever love you. He loves you, and that love doesn't just stop. It doesn't start one day and ends another day. Once you come to Christ, he deposits his Holy Spirit in you, and that part of that is his love. And he says this, he loves me. Surely goodness, God's blessing, and his love will follow me. When? How? All the days of my life. Not just on Sunday morning, but all the days of my life. In my good days, in my bad days, in those days of temptation, he's still loving me. That love bank don't ever go dry. That love bank don't go empty. It is just full all the time. I'm making deposits from it, and I can never put deposits in it, but I'm taking withdrawals from it all the time. And every time I take a withdrawal from it, it's still filled up. It's still filled up because nobody can love me like God. Nobody can love you like God. And God loves you enough to beat you down sometimes when you're out there living in sin to say, listen, that's not the way we do it here. That's not the way we do it, little lady. That's not the way we do it, mister. Get yourself back in line on the paths of righteousness because I got so much more for you. I got some awesome stuff for you. Can't tell you about it right now because you're out here playing around the world. There's some things you got to learn before you get over there because you got to get from here to there. But right now, you got to go just over here. Just over here. You got to learn to be obedient. You got to quit saying no to me and start learning to say, yes, sir. Yes, Father. Thank you, Father. You're awesome, Father. And what else? Well, that's sin. And when you say sin, it's almost like God goes, creeps right up on you. Let's talk about that for a bit. Because he wants to talk about that. We don't want to talk about it, but he wants to talk about it because that's the stuff that keeps us from being who he wants us to be. That's the stuff. He says, so surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And here he says this, and in the end, he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not just today, not just the day that I die, but forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am with him every day because I'm family, because you're family. We have an inheritance. We are part of that inheritance. He has in store for us a day that he's going to speak to us about how all kinds of things in the judgment. There's going to be, he's going to have a time of rewarding. There's going to be a time because you're part of the family. Part of the family of God. It's an old song. And we look at Psalms 23 and sometimes we just read it and we just think, oh, what great poetry. Oh, what a map to how to live life. What an instruction chapter on how to be the best person that you can be on the face of the earth, knowing that you are protected. But first it starts off with you are not in control. You giving that control, that self-control under a shepherd. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he has more encouragement, more love, more mercy, more guidance than you can get anywhere else. I don't care what it is, school. Listen, we never impress God with all the stuff that we get, whether it be education, cars, houses, money, position. None of that impresses God because I'll tell you this, he owns it all anyway. He owns it all. It is what are you going to do with it for him with what you have. And that's what it comes down to. And when you let him be him, he's going to test you on some things and say, now I want that. I want that. I want that. But I'll tell you this, God is so awesome. Whenever he asks for it and you give it, he's going to bless you more than what you ever gave him. It's just the way it works. Because nobody's going to outgive. Nobody's going to outgive the Father. So when you lay your head down, as I asked at the beginning of this message, when you lay your head down at night, what goes on in your mind? Lord, I'm no good. I can't believe I keep living like this. I can't believe that I've done this in my life. I can't believe I got so much junk going on. I don't know how to handle things. Maybe you're one that lays there at night and you're almost preaching in your sleep. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. This you just awesome. I couldn't believe you came through today. Yes, Lord. And you just sit there and talk. Next thing you know, you done fell asleep. I mean, people get mad. Oh, I fall asleep in the presence of the Lord. I can't believe it. Listen, I heard someone, one person say this one time. Who would you rather want to fall asleep on? Just would you want to just fall asleep in the presence of God? Maybe he just says, be quiet. Shh, you need sleep. Last person you talked to was God. Not the TV, but God. Not the phone, but God just go sleep. That's the peace that he gives. That's the peace that he gives. Today I want to let you know that you can experience these scriptures every day of your life. They just don't have to be words in a book, because they're not just words in a book. This is from the Spirit of the living God, who spoke through a man who wrote the words down. You have an opportunity to change your life. I can't make that decision for you. I can't even do that for you. But we all know one who can. If you don't have a relationship with God, then your life is separated. You're separated from God. There's only one way that you can get that right, and that is coming to God, just as you are. But as Christians, we know that sometimes our soul is broken, and our spirit has cracks in it. But the Scriptures just told me that He restores my soul. There's only one way to do it, and that is to get before the living God and have a conversation. Amen? Amen? All right, let's go ahead and stand up.